Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, South Texas. Welcome to Our Shepherd's View. I'm Barbara Little with Bishop Michael Mulvey on this first Sunday, and we're also celebrating the Epiphany of the Lord. Today we will discuss the Gospel of Matthew and talk about the meaning of Epiphany. Stay with us and we'll be right back.
Father Ray Irlas, pastor of Sacred Heart Parish in Rockport, invites you to join him and others as they follow the footsteps of St. Paul. This 11-day pilgrimage to Greece and Rome will depart Corpus Christi on July 2nd, 2014. You'll visit Athens, including the Parthenon, Mars Hill, the House of Parliament, Olympic Stadium, Ephesus, the City of the Bible, tour the Basilica of St. John, the Isle of Patmos, and then on to Rome with its Colosseum, the Vatican, the Sistine Chapel, and so much more. For complete information or to reserve your place on this pilgrimage, call Father Ray at 361-729-9203.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Good morning, Bishop, and Happy New Year to you.
Well, you beat me to it, Barbara. Thank you. Happy New Year to you and to everybody out there. We hope that your New Year's celebration was peaceful and joyful.
Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful day today. Today is the Epiphany. So if we could prepare our hearts and minds to hear the Gospel today from Matthew.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem, saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising, and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it has been written through the prophets, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler, who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly, and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child. When you have found him, bring me word, that I too might go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out. And behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them, until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house they saw the child with Mary his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage. Then they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for the country by another way. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I think this is just such a beautiful gospel. You know, we are singing the Christmas carols of the three kings, three kings of Orient are, and we have the vision of the Star of Bethlehem. It's just a good visual gospel, I think.
It is very, very visual,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yes.
And of course, it brings out so much history, you might say, in some ways. I mean, the Magi were, you know, today we would probably classify them to be kind of soothsayers and all that, but in their day,
really?
But in their day, they were philosophers, they were astronomers, they were very, very intelligent people, and you know, following a star for them was a sign. So it's for us, it would seem kind of odd. You know, we follow fire trucks and shooting stars, but for them to see that star meant something. There was something obviously moved in them to follow that star to Bethlehem. And so these were intelligent men. They were coming, seeking that person that they knew would be coming.
So do you happen to know the names of the three magi?
Well, I certainly do. Of course, this is legend.
Okay.
I mean, it's not for sure, but Caspar and Melchior and Balthazar. One was to have been a young man, mm-hmm. kind of in his beginning. One was an old, wise figure with a long white beard. And the other one, I believe Balthazar, was just kind of beginning to have a beard and taking on that position of a wise man. But Caspar, Melchior, and Balthazar, according to legend.
According to legend. That's great. So today, being Epiphany Sunday, I was looking in the catechism, and it said that the Epiphany is the manifestation of Jesus as the Messiah of Israel, the Son of God, and Savior of the world. That's pretty huge. Right.
That is, and you know, it's God is for everyone.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
God created all of us. God loves all of us, mm-hmm. and so it would be kind of absurd for us to think that He restricts Himself to just a few people, or that God does not embrace or want everyone to embrace Him. That He embraces all of us, and He obviously wants us to embrace Him. So it's really, you might say, it's a missionary Sunday. It's mm-hmm. a Sunday that we celebrate in a certain sense, that first manifestation, that first telling beyond the cave of Bethlehem where Jesus was born, and that He's really meant for everybody. So it's a great, it's a Sunday that's very, very significant for us, a celebration that's very significant for us, that our work is never done. Christ needs to be brought to everyone. And awakened and reawakened in every one of us. You know, Pope John Paul II used to speak of the new evangelization. It's not so much going to where the gospel has not reached, because you would think about it over the years with missionary activity, the gospel has reached almost everywhere. But it's a reevangelization of ourselves as well in our country. We think, well, we're a Christian country. Well, if you look around at times, probably not. And so we need to reawaken to a new epiphany, the meaning of Christ in our lives. And so it's a call to us today. It's not something we just celebrate, but it's a real invitation to us to allow the beauty of Christ, the meaning of Christ, to be reawakened in our own lives, the lives of our families, the lives of our parish, communities, etc.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you said that Christ is for all of us, it's interesting that the Magi were Gentiles.
Right.
And so they were among the first to see, Gentiles were among the first to see the baby Jesus, right, along with the poor, I guess referring to the shepherds.
Exactly. Yeah, the poor, the shepherds, probably Jewish shepherds in the area, but called from the east. It's a tremendous sign that that Jesus was not meant for just a select few, but for all. Mm-hmm. And again, kind of what we said back, I think we were talking a couple of weeks ago about the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary and as bringing forth the child of truth. And that's what we believe, that this is God's truth, God's presence, God Himself in Jesus among us, which is truth. And so we need to allow ourselves to be so imbued with that truth that we want to bring it to others as well. It's not just for us. It's mm-hmm. not just, you know, our faith is never just a God and me moment,
right,
a private moment. If Jesus were just meant for private worship, well, that would have stayed right there in the manger with the Mary and Joseph and the shepherds and a few animals. But no, I mean, these three men came from the east to show us, to teach us that He's meant for all.
Well, and the fact that they offered Him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I mean, they knew that He was somebody special.
Yes, and that's certainly a part of it. But, you know, God is never undone in His imagination, because those gifts also represent something. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh, if we were to just look at them symbolically in the life of Jesus. Of course, you know, it's many... all of us have this experience where something happens in our life and it's only later that we really understand
the true
significance of them, or we call it maybe a golden thread that weaves through our lives. Sometimes we question why something happened in our life. And later we see why. And certainly these gifts also have a tremendous representation in the life of Jesus. Just briefly, the gold is the gold of a king. And so he is our king, not our earthly king in the sense of power and ruling, but our king from heaven. And so the gold represents the kingship of Jesus, Christ the King, Christ crucified. The frankincense is his priestly role, that he came to offer sacrifice, the sacrifice of himself. You know, when you think in terms of being at Mass and we use incense, and I know some people have an issue with that, and when I hear about that and I think, well, it's just, I'm surrounded by it when I'm incensing the altar.
That's right.
So nobody's closer and covered with smoke than I am. But anyway, but it's a priestly issue of frankincense, that incense rising to God as an offering, because a priest is one who offers sacrifice, and in Jesus's case, who offers himself as the sacrifice. And so that incense that we use, and the gift of incense here, is a priestly gift that the Magi bring to Jesus. And finally, the myrrh is that oil of anointment for his burial. So we have his kingship, his priesthood, and his sacrificial death and burial. So they're very, very symbolic, very meaningful to the church. They're not just gifts that you got at Dillard's or Walmart or wherever, but
right. The symbolism was huge.
Huge symbolism. And of course, it really takes the evangelist in putting all the pieces of the puzzle together after the death of Jesus and writing the gospel, that they understood then the whole story and certainly bring it to life through the events from his birth, death, and resurrection, mm-hmm. are able to bring it all together for us, even with the symbolisms of these three gifts in this case.
Well, and as you were mentioning before, sometimes things happen in our lives and we may not understand why. We talk about God having a plan.
Yes,
to have the Magi bring these three gifts that would be so instrumental in Jesus' life.
And again, very much so. And the fact of God's plan was to send Jesus as his truth, as the way, the truth, and the life, to bring all peoples to God, not just a few. And so it's a very powerful feast day which reaches beyond us and really is a call to all peoples, call to us, first of all, to bring the message of Christ to others, to bring him to others, but also a message that he belongs to all, even those that don't know it.
It's a beautiful message.
Right.
Thank you, Bishop. We're going to take a short break and we will be right back.
The gift shop at Most Precious Blood Church, 3502 Saratoga, is stocked with a variety of religious items for every occasion. You'll find Bibles, baptism, and wedding items, framed religious art, religious DVDs for the whole family, rosaries, crosses, statues, prayer booklets, prayer cards, and more. Store hours are Thursday through Saturday from 10 till 5, and Sundays a half hour before and after each Mass. A portion of the proceeds benefits Most Precious Blood School.
What is deep prayer? What goes on at a silent retreat? Is it for anyone? Why is it called deep prayer? A deep prayer retreat should be experienced in order to fully understand what God is saying. To learn more about it and to sign up for a retreat at Our Lady of Corpus Christi Retreat Center, visit deepprayer.org.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Bishop, before the break, we were talking about how the Magi paid homage, you know, to celebrate the birth of Jesus. But essentially, I was doing some research, and it said that the birth of Jesus could be our own birth. Mm-hmm. You know, we give homage to Christ by bringing his presence to our own cities. So that made me think, you know, this is a brand new year, calendar year. What can we do to give homage to Christ?
Well, it's a very good and complicated question, I think you ask. You know, in other words, you're asking, how do we respond? How do
right.
we react to this feast? Well, I think it would be interesting to look at the reaction of people throughout the gospel and then look at the reaction of the wise men at this announcement of Christ. And if we even in the gospel today, look at the reaction of Herod to the announcement of Christ. Herod's reaction was one of hatred and hostility, jealousy. It was a threat. And so his reaction was that Jesus, and we could say today that Christianity maybe could be a threat to people. But they don't want to hear about it. And we could also look, and unfortunately this may be our case sometimes, if not on a continuum basis, certainly on a day-to-day at times. Mm-hmm. But you look at the scribes and the Pharisees in the gospel, I mean, they too in some ways saw Jesus as a threat, but more they were kind of indifferent. You know, I mean, they really didn't really see the brilliance of Christ in the sense that he was God's truth. But then you look at the wise men today, again, as you said earlier, who came from the East, were not even part of the faith, the Jewish faith at the time. But they came in adoration and worship. Did they understand who Jesus was? Did they acknowledge who he was? They did, in the sense of their adoration and worship. I doubt that they completely understood who this person was, but something moved inside of them to bring them to a position of worship and adoration. There are, in many ways in our life, our prayer needs to be one of adoration and simply being in the presence of the one who loves us, as St. Teresa would say, St. Teresa of Avila, in worship, not just physically, but in ourselves, in our spirit, humbling our spirit in front of Christ, humbling ourselves, humbling our situation, is a sure way, of giving homage as the Magi did, not being at all hostile to God or to Christ, you know, because of my situation, and certainly not being indifferent,
right.
but humbling ourselves in a deep homage. Sometimes we obviously, many of us, go to times of adoration in front of the Blessed Sacrament, but also outside of that, sacramental type of prayer, but just in our own spirit, is humbling ourselves in front of God, having a humbled spirit about us. When we have that, we're certainly able then to appreciate the richness that is ours in our faith in Christ. And that, you know, I just think if we look at the Magi and their inner spirit, it was one of wonder and awe, as we said earlier,
right.
And that they were there really to give homage to Almighty God. The second thing I would say about that really, I think, is reflected in the first two readings of our Mass today. And the first one is from Isaiah. In the 60th chapter, where, you know, Isaiah is really calling us, you know, in to rise up.
Right.
Not in revolt, but to rise up because your light has come, to rise up in joy. You're to walk by light, to raise your eyes and come to the Lord. This takes humility. This is because, you know, our pride, I think, many times is what keeps us back. If you look at the other two groups that we talked about earlier, Herod and the scribes, there's a lot of pride there. Herod
there
because of his position, and the
right.
scribes because of their position within the community. And so that led to hostility, and it led to indifference. But to have humility means to allow God to be God.
Right.
We are not God. And to allow God to be God. And in that, then, we can see the beauty and rise up in splendor and see that Christ is a light to our way on earth. So this is certainly an attitude of the Magi. They had to have that humility in order to recognize that this was the Son of God. The other thing I would say is reflected in the St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, where he speaks of himself. He says, "You've heard of the stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for your benefit, namely that the mystery was made known to me by revelation." Our faith is in many ways part of our stewardship, that if we're given a gift, and faith is a gift, then it is not meant to be just for us. We talk so much in the diocese and throughout the church, actually, today about stewardship. It's how we use the gifts that we have. If you don't appreciate a gift, if I don't appreciate a gift, I don't pay much attention to it. Isaiah tells us to rise up in splendor because your visitation has come, your Christ has come. This is the meaning of Christmas season, of Advent, of Epiphany. But that's a gift. That's not something that's just to be hoarded for ourselves. And so to be, as St. Paul says, a good steward of that gift, we have to share the light of Christ with others. How do we do that? St. Paul also talks about many, many ways. Some are teachers, some are prophets, some are, you know, administrators, et cetera, et cetera. It's not what we do, it's how we do it. Talked last Sunday as parents, you reflect Christ to your children by the way that you treat them, by the spirit that you use your authority in the family. As we said last week, not to abdicate the authority of being a father or a mother, but to put Christ into your actions in using that authority. Be good stewards of that gift. At work, we're always on a mission. I mean, if we really understand this great feast of Christmas with all of its components, and today being the component of the Epiphany, we all have a mission to be a good steward of the faith that has been given to us, and to share that with others, sometimes gently, sometimes strongly, whatever it is, but always in the spirit of Christ.
Mm-hmm. And it's a beautiful message for us to really think about. When I'd asked you the question about paying homage, we need to just take some time to reflect.
Yeah.
And it's a good way to do that. It's the starting of the first of the year is to take some time in silence and do some readings and reflect and let Christ's word enter us.
Yeah, it's very true, and that really is part and parcel of really this letting our light shine toward others. We have to know the light's there, first of all.
That's true.
And only in a quiet time, prayer, mm-hmm. reflecting, can we really come to know that Christ does dwell in us and that it is a gift to us and that we are stewards of that gift. I think so many of us measure our worth, our faith, our value by how much we do. And little do we pay attention to who we are. And I would hope maybe as a kind of a theme for this year of 2011, that we could appreciate just who we are, who you are as a parent, as a mother, as a father, not so much what you do for your children, but who are you to them? Or as a grandparent, who are you to your children, to your grandchildren, or as an aunt or an uncle? Not so much what do you do for the family, but who are you in that family? I think or as a teacher, as a businessman, to be in touch with who we are, and that is that we are children of God, we are disciples of Jesus Christ, and this Christmas season brings it to true light that we live in Christ because Christ lives in us. Probably if we really understood that, we'd probably burn with mm-hmm. with joy and excitement,
light.
But we
right.
really probably don't understand it enough. So I would just invite us this year as our own epiphany, because we're talking about
right.
epiphany has to happen in us too, that is our own epiphany that we realize the light that is in us in Christ, in his word, and in the sacraments that we celebrate. And to be that light to others, not so much in doing things, but we need to do, but to be in people's presence. Sometimes people are in situations where they can't do a lot, whether because of age or social situation, may not be able to do for others, but they can be for their brothers, for their sisters. So I would really encourage that to be our epiphany, that manifestation of Christ in us, to be in touch with that and to be Christ for others.
And by being, that's either role modeling, you know, in our terms, if you picking up the phone,
yeah,
calling somebody that's you haven't talked to in a while or you know is ill.
Exactly.
Writing notes.
Sure.
I mean, those are acts, and sure, that's doing,
sure,
but...
A smile, you know?
A smile, exactly.
What would it be like if we had more smiles on our faces rather than
that's
frowns,
true,
or mm-hmm, kinder words coming out of our mouth rather than condemning words coming out? Less judgmental thoughts. If you're already judging somebody in your thoughts, believe me, they will feel it.
That's right.
So if there's a lot of judgment inside of us, get rid of it. That is not the light of Christ. Any judgment, I don't care. You can say I feel very strongly about this because judgment is what destroys the unity of peoples. Even though some you might say, well, somebody doesn't know I'm judging them, believe me, they feel it.
Right.
And so there's no epiphany in us. There's no presence of Christ when we are judging. Mm-hmm. So all of these things, I would encourage all of us to be Christ, to let Christ come in, awaken in us a new epiphany of his presence, and to be that presence to each other.
Mm-hmm. It's a wonderful message for us. Thank you, Bishop. And if you could say a closing prayer and blessing for us this morning.
Be happy to. Father of light, unchanging God, today you reveal to all the resplendent fact of the Word made flesh. Your light is strong and your love is near. Draw us beyond the limits which this world imposes on us to live lives where your Spirit makes all life complete. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
And may the glory of God shine upon you always, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop, and thank you for listening to us this morning. On behalf of our Shepherd's View, Happy New Year and have a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.